This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. It has just gone past 7:36, Tuesday, November the 23rd. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to the United States. Now, last week, President Joe Biden finally signed the $1 trillion infrastructure deal into law. In this legislation, $550 billion are new investments that will be spent on transportation, broadband, and utilities, with around $110 billion provided to repair highways, bridges, roads, while $39 billion for public transport systems.
That's a lot of money, you know. And it's, I mean, for really substantive things like expanding internet access, modernizing the electric grid, and also to improve water and wastewater infrastructure. But, you know, Xiaoning, that is not the only spending bill, because President Biden also has the $1.7 trillion bill to bolster social safety nets in the United States. Now, this has passed the U.S. House of Representatives, but will face an uphill battle in the Senate. So the question really is, how will this hard-fought infrastructure bill help President Biden's dwindling popularity, and will it help change American lives and boost the economy?
To shed some light on this, we have on the line with us DJ Gribben, Senior Operating Partner at Stone Peak Infrastructure Partners. Thanks for joining us again, DJ. Now, give us an idea, how badly does the U.S. need this infrastructure deal?
I think this infrastructure deal will be very helpful. We've had a historic underinvestment in our nation's infrastructure. However, there was a narrative that our infrastructure was crumbling, which is a really aggressive way to explain the current state of U.S. infrastructure, which is pretty good. The infrastructure that we have that is in the worst shape tends to be in our urban areas, where cities have historically not invested in maintaining that infrastructure.
So basically, it's not really crumbling, only in selected areas. Can I just get your sense, when you see the allocation of the bill, do you think the quantum and allocation so far are fair and appropriate, and does it go far enough?
Well, I think that the quantum is pretty good, but just to put this in context, the U.S. spends approximately $1 trillion a year from public and private sources on our infrastructure. This bill provides an extra, you know, around $100 billion a year in new funding. So it's a 10% increase in funding where we've been before, which, again, is quite helpful. But the allocation may be a little off. There are areas where we've invested incredibly heavily, in some cases, maybe even more than can possibly be spent in those areas, and other areas where we probably have not invested as much as we should.
And I'm just curious, do you think it will achieve one of its objectives, which President Joe Biden said it would better position the United States to compete against China and other nations vying for dominance in this 21st century? Is it going to be achieved through this infrastructure bill?
It's hard to imagine this bill. I mean, it certainly could be helpful, but remember, this is infrastructure writ large, right? This isn't just highways and port and freight rail. It includes, broadband and water systems. And it's hard to imagine improving a local water system, as important as that is, will help with the United States geopolitical position vis-a-vis China.
And when you talk about the implementation of this bill, $1 trillion is a huge bill. How does it roll out? You're kind of implying it's over a 10-year period, is that correct? But is it an even 10-year disbursement?
Actually, it rolls out over 5 years. And that's an excellent question in terms of how it rolls out, because it rolls out in two different ways. One is by formula. So the way that our highway funding is distributed here in the United States, states collect gas taxes, they send it to the federal government, and the federal government then redistributes that back to the states by formula. Those programs are in place, and the money will flow relatively quickly. The bill, however, does include 59 new grant programs, where quite a bit of the new funding is captured. And that funding will take some time, because it will take the government time to set up the new programs, decide how to allocate funds, the criteria they want to use in those allocations, and then actually get those funds out the door.
So help us break it down. What are the other benefits that come from this infrastructure bill, other than the fact that, of course, some of the crumbling infrastructure is repaired? Are there any longer-term benefits?
There are a number of longer-term benefits, and those are in, there's funding in here for electric vehicles, there's funding in here for broadband, there's funding in here for programs like, you know, developing cleaner technologies around carbon capture, hydrogen, electric vehicles, charging stations. So it's hard to summarize such a massive piece of legislation briefly, but it goes far beyond just funding highways and transit and actually does reach into a number of different areas, and particularly electric transmission, where we have a challenge if we're going to move our economy from traditional fossil fuels to renewables. Then we need new transmission lines and a level, the ability to distribute power that we have not needed in the past. And so this bill helps prompt that transition.
So, you know, one of the key features of this bill was the political development of it, because it was relatively bipartisan in nature, but it did cost mm-hmm. votes from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. You know, can you just share where were the common ground established with the Republicans, and what did the progressive Democrats really balk at?
Well, I think so. This came out of the Senate with a very large bipartisan support that narrowed when it got to the House side. But both sides, I think, agreed that we have underinvested in infrastructure, and infrastructure is critical to our nation's economy. I mean, movement of both people and goods and ideas, come to think of it, is critical to our economic growth and to our international competitiveness. I think where it broke down, particularly on the House side, is, as you mentioned, the progressives wanted to add on the social infrastructure bill and pass both of them together. And, you know, social infrastructure included, you know, health care and for the elderly, child care for kids. And so it really reached into areas that you wouldn't traditionally think of as infrastructure. And the progressives in the House wanted to move both those bills together. It was decided pretty much at the last minute that they would be moved separately. And the separation of these two bills is what allowed the infrastructure bill to then pass through the House and make it to the president's desk.
So I'm just curious, will there be any near or even longer term challenges in implementing this bill? I mean, how will it be rolled out? Has all the finer details been worked out? Which are the priority projects?
That is a phenomenal question. And the short answer is no, the details haven't been worked out. In fact, you know, there's hundreds of billions of dollars that will be spent through programs that don't even exist today, right? So The first step is we can stand those programs up. And then, you know, to your point, then figure out how do we distribute this money in a way that meets the policy objectives of the administration. So, and that kind of touches on there's been a lot of conversation about inflation in this country and a lot of concern about inflation. And I don't think this bill will be particularly damaging when it comes to increasing inflation, mainly because the timing of the spend is going to be spread out. And while the formula programs I mentioned earlier will be spending dollars next year, the competitive grant programs are unlikely to spend dollars next year. And if they do, it'll be the very end of next year. So there's a lot of spending here, but it is spread out over a number of years.
Yeah. And can we just talk about the bigger bill, which is that $1.75 trillion Build Back Better Act, mm-hmm. which is basically covering that social safety net expansion. Now, early on, you were saying that the Senate approved by quite a large majority the infrastructure bill, kicked down to the House of Representatives, a small majority. Now, with the passage in the House of Representatives for this $1.75 trillion deal, Social Care Act bill, and now they're pushing it to the Senate, what is the probability of the Senate approving this?
It's going to be challenging to get that bill through the Senate. So normally, and I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but normally the way the Senate process works in a regular way, you need 60 votes or 60% of the Senate to pass a bill. There is a once a year opportunity using what's called budget reconciliation to pass a bill with only 50 votes. But when you do that, the minority party, in this case Republicans, almost always votes en bloc, the entire party against that. For procedural reasons as well as substantive reasons. But it's really procedural. In other words, you're doing an end run around the minority's rights. They object to that. They're all going to vote against that end run, which means that the Democratic leadership needs every single Democrat in the Senate to vote for the bill. And there are a couple of moderate and relatively conservative Democrats. It's going to be hard to get them to sign on to such a large package that includes such a large tax increase.
And one last question from us. I mean, when you reflect on these two bills and even the earlier stimulus packages that were passed, how far or how close is President Biden in achieving his goals? You know, his whole theme of building back better. And do you think these bills will improve the Democrats' midterm electoral chances?
Boy, that is a phenomenal question. So yes, obviously the passage of the infrastructure bill is a really important accomplishment for this administration. He focused on infrastructure very early on, and the last two predecessors, both President Trump and President Obama, tried to pass infrastructure bills and were relatively unsuccessful. So he's kind of put himself as having passed something. Mm. How it impacts the elections we have next year, to a large degree, will be driven by those 59 programs I mentioned earlier. And can they get money out of the federal government into projects before the fall of next year? And while that seems like a long time, it is actually a very short time to set up new programs and get money out. So it could be helpful. It could be harmful. To a large degree, it depends on how well they execute on this program.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was DJ Gribben, Senior Operating Partner at Stone Peak Infrastructure Partners, telling us about the infrastructure bill, but ending the call on a very interesting note, reminding us that actually US isn't very different from Malaysia. It's all about execution, 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 and how fast you can spend the money and in the right way.
The devil resides in the details.
Yes, exactly. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.